Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the church. Today it's good to see you. And welcome to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Now, you might notice there's another minister next to me here at the table today. You're getting two for the price of one this morning. What it is, I have to leave slightly earlier than normal in order to represent the presbytery at a meeting with a congregation within the bounds. And it's a wee bit away from here, so the sermon's going to be earlier. I'm not saying it'll be any shorter. And then our good friend, the Reverend Bruce McNichol, will conduct the closing part of the service. And I'm grateful to you for that, Bruce. And so the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 416, 416, to the tune Truro. Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we draw near to you in this time of worship, we praise you for Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and the one who is alive forevermore. Gracious God, rejoicing in the news that the cross and tomb are empty, we marvel at your power and glory, and we give thanks to you, for you are ever present with us, and nothing, not even death, can separate us from you or your love. Eternal God, as in this Easter season, we celebrate the triumph of good over bad, love over hatred, and life over death. We acknowledge there are times when we forget how blessed we are. We take your goodness and mercy for granted. We are quick to become disheartened. We fail to live as children of the light. Almighty God, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Forgive us for neglecting to give you your rightful place in our lives, and let us turn again to you, the God of our salvation. Lord God, as Jesus drew near to his followers on the road to Emmaus and made himself known through the breaking of bread, may he come afresh to us this day that you have made, giving hope in place of despair, turning weakness into strength, and changing doubt into faith. Gracious God, hear this, our morning prayer, and hear us further as together we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Just a few things to draw to your attention, friends. There'll be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service today. You're very welcome to gather there. That's following the service this morning. Volunteers to tidy and maintain the grounds around the church are invited to meet at the church on Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. There'll be a service in Eccles Court on Wednesday at 2, and then on Wednesday evening at 7:30, there'll be a joint meeting of the Kirk Sessions of Holyrood Viewfield Park Church and St Ninian's Old in Park Church Hall. The craft group will meet in the parish halls on Thursday at 2, and again, all will be very welcome. Articles for the summer edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by the 11th of May. That's a fortnight today. We would be very grateful to receive articles for the summer edition that will cover the months of June, July, and August. They can be emailed to the address there on the intimation sheet or left in the McMichael Chapel. Michelle Obama, who, of course, was once the First Lady of the United States of America, tells the story of how one day when she and her husband were living in the White House, she decided that she would like to go out and go to the shops on her own without her private detective and others being with her and keeping a watch on her every move. But she was wise enough to recognize that if she did so, in all probability, she would be recognized by people, for hers was, of course, a familiar face. So she decided to disguise herself. She put her hair into a ponytail. She wore a baseball cap and put on dark glasses. Well, somehow she managed to escape from the White House, and she went into one of the big stores in Washington. And while there, this woman came up and said to her, "Excuse me, may I ask you a question?" And Mrs. Obama's heart missed a beat because she thought, "Oh no, someone has recognized me. I'll need to get out of here." But before she could, the woman said, "Would you stretch up and get that scarf for me and give it to me?" Little did that woman know that she had just asked the First Lady of America to pass the scarf to her. If she had known that, then no doubt that woman would have dined out on that story for a long time to come. St. Luke tells us the story of two of Jesus' followers on the first Easter evening making their way to a village called Emmaus. They were sad and despondent. And as they made the journey, Jesus came and appeared to them, but for some reason, they didn't recognize him. Was it because his appearance had changed, or was it because their sadness and grief was so real and so intense that they couldn't believe the news they had heard earlier that day, the news that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was alive? Sometimes when problems arise, or sickness or sadness comes, these things can become our sole focus, and we find it difficult to see beyond them. That is natural, of course. But as Christian people, we have the wonderful assurance that Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, is always with us, even though we don't always recognize him. We are told that when the two followers invited Jesus to join them at the inn, he broke bread and he gave thanks, and their eyes were opened. They realized it was the Lord. He was alive, and what joy was theirs. May you all know that joy today and every day. Amen. Haven't you heard that Jesus is risen? Hymn 433, and Tony is kindly going to play a full introduction. Hymn 433.
Thank you. Good morning. The first reading from the Word of God comes from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 19, and can be found on page 513 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 116 on page 513. I love the Lord, for he has heard me and listened to my prayer. He has given me a hearing, and all my days I shall cry to him. The cords of death bound me, Sheol held me in its grip. Anguish and torment held me fast. Then I invoked the Lord by name. Lord, deliver me, I pray. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I shall pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. A precious thing in the Lord's sight is the death of those who are loyal to him. Indeed, Lord, I am your slave. I am your slave, your slave girl's son. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall bring a thank offering and call on the Lord by name. I shall pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The second reading comes from Luke 24. It's verses 13 to 35. It can be found on page 76 of the New Testament. Luke 24, page 76. In that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking together about all that had happened. As they talked and argued, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but something prevented them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What is it you are debating as you walk?" They stood still, their faces full of sadness. And one called Cleopas answered, "Are you the only person staying in Jerusalem not to have heard the news of what has happened there in the last few days?" "What news?" he said. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "who by deeds and words of power proved himself a prophet in the sight of God and the whole people. And how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we had been hoping that he was to be the liberator of Israel. What is more, this is the third day since it happened. And now some women of our company have astounded us. They went early to the tomb, but failed to find his body, and returned with a story that they had seen a vision of angels who told them he was alive. Then some of our people went to the tomb and found things just as the women had said, but him they did not see." "How dull you are," he answered. "How slow to believe all that the prophets said. Was not the Messiah bound to suffer in this way before entering upon his glory?" Then, starting from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in the whole scripture the things that referred to himself. By this time, they had reached the village to which they were going, and he made as if to continue his journey. But they pressed him, "Stay with us, for evening approaches, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and when he had sat down with them at the table, he took bread and said the blessing. He broke the bread and offered it to them. Then their eyes opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts on fire as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Without a moment's delay, they set out and returned to Jerusalem. There they found that the 11 and the rest of the company had assembled and were saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon." Then they described what had happened on their journey and told how he had made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. Amen.
Thank you, Gordon. We sing the hymn 417, hymn 417. "Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain."
Thank you.
I once read these words written by the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung, and they made such an impression on me that I wrote them down. Space flights are merely an escape, a fleeing away from oneself, because it is easier to go to the moon than it is to penetrate one's being. When I first read these words, I had to think for a while about what was actually being said. And when I did, I concluded there is a great deal of truth in them. It can be difficult to delve into our own being, because we fear we may discover some things we don't like or want to discover. Personal biases, weaknesses, fears, hurt, regret, guilt, grief. And therefore we busy ourselves with common everyday tasks. We fill our minds with other things. We do all we can to escape that which has the potential to leave us disturbed. I wonder if something like that motivated the two followers of Jesus on the first Easter evening. Most of the disciples had remained in Jerusalem. But these two, one of whom was named Cleopas, decided to leave. Did they think that by leaving Jerusalem, they would be able to walk away from their grief, their pain and disappointment? That they would be able to leave the bad memories of the previous Friday behind them? Jerusalem, that great city, had become for them like an empty house, a house haunted by memories. For these two, it was time to take to the road and get away from it all. Emmaus, a village some 7 miles west of Jerusalem, was their chosen destination. And I've been wondering, might that have been their go-to place when things got tough? A place where they could rest, where they could recover, where they could be renewed. I believe we all need such a place. The story of the two followers on the road to Emmaus is so very human. And for that reason, it is perhaps one that we can readily identify with. Like the others, these two followers were shattered by all that had happened within a short period of time. They had genuinely thought that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel. But then he was nailed to a cross. And with that final nail, their world fell apart. Their hopes and dreams buried with Christ in the tomb. I often think that when we're troubled, there can be two kinds of responses. And perhaps I'm speaking from my own experience here, but you might be able to identify with it. Sometimes if I'm deeply troubled, it can be as if a kind of paralysis sets in. I lack motivation. All I can do is sit or lie and let whatever is weighing heavily upon me be my focus. That's one response that I sometimes can have. But at other times, my response can be different. My inner need to escape externalizes itself, and so I try to do something. I'll go for a walk. I'll work in the garden. I'll listen to music. I'll immerse myself in a good book. Isn't it true that somehow and in some way we find our own Emmaus, our go-to place, a place where we can rest, recover, and be renewed? And often we feel better as a result. The two followers were deeply disturbed. They had to get away, and it's good that they did. Can you picture them in your mind's eye? These two followers walking along the road as the sun begins to set. It's a dusty road. It's a road they may have walked many, many times before, but this time was different from any other. This time, their souls were troubled in a way that was quite overwhelming. In today's psalm, the writer speaks of being in anguish and bound by the cords of death. He was really up against it and in the pit of despair. It was not a good place to be. But then he did something. He called upon the Lord and asked him to help him. And what happened? The Lord responded. And the psalmist truly felt he had been released and set free from the chains that held him in their grip. How wonderful that was. But let's be clear. It wasn't the case that the psalmist's troubles had all been taken away from him. Far from it. These troubles would continue in one guise or another. But they would no longer have power over him. For a greater power was on hand. The power of Almighty God. The one in whom the psalmist placed his trust. And in so doing, he knew a strength that was not his own. And a peace that came from the one who was his help and his salvation. Since the death of that good man, Pope Francis, last Monday, there has been a lot of coverage about his papacy, as well as about his death and, of course, the funeral yesterday. In a conversation he had with one of his cardinals some years ago, Francis said, "From the moment of my election as Pope, my peace has never left me. My peace has never left me. I was greatly taken with his words. Throughout all that he experienced in his years as Pope, including opposition from quarters within the Roman Catholic Church because of his stance on certain issues. Despite all that, Francis knew an inner peace, a peace that remained. Why? It was because he walked closely with God and trusted in him. As Cleopas and his companion walked towards Emmaus and the sun set, the risen Lord appeared and walked beside them, though they did not recognize him. I've often wondered what Jesus thought at that point. Did he have a sense of humor? Was Jesus saying to himself, I wonder how long it will take these two followers of mine to recognize me? Perhaps. But there was something. Though they didn't recognize it was Jesus, there was something about this stranger. A warmth, perhaps, that caused them to talk freely with him. They opened up to him. They gave voice to how they were feeling deep within. And as they talked, he listened. Isn't that lovely? The Savior of the world, risen that very day from the dead, took time to listen to two humble followers. And then he talked lovingly. He opened up the scriptures to them. He explained what they meant, the prophecies of old. And so taken were they with him that when they reached the place to which they were going, they invited the stranger to stay with them. Come and bide with us. Isn't that lovely? Little did they know who they were inviting to join them at that inn. Little did they know it was the King of Glory. And he joined them, not in some great church or temple or synagogue, but in an ordinary, humble home. And it was when he took bread and he said the blessing, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Their eyes were opened. Not only did they see Jesus and know it was him, their whole outlook was transformed. They knew that all that had happened had not, after all, been in vain. What strength, what joy, what peace they knew. My friends, the sunset gave way to a glorious sunrise. The meaning of life became clear. The darkness became light. Emmaus truly was a good place to be. But they couldn't remain there. They couldn't wait there. They had to return, not only to Jerusalem, but to life as it was. But they did so renewed in thought and with hope reborn. For they knew that no matter what experience they may have or circumstance they may find themselves in, they knew the risen Lord would be there, walking beside them, their friend, their companion on the way. As followers of Jesus today, as his Easter people, we cannot wait at our Emmaus either, much as at times we would like to. We also have to return to life as it is, with all that that means for us as individuals and as a church. But we do so knowing, believing that no matter what we have to endure or what challenges we will face and challenges there shall be, we know, we believe, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, will be there at our side, even though we do not always recognize him. And as we place our trust in him, then like the psalmist, like Cleopas and his companion, we will be given the strength we need. And we will know within a deep and lasting peace and joy. As I prepared for today, I came across these words with which I would like to close. There is no evening tiredness that Christ will not share. No anxious day that can dawn without Christ first being there. There is no road to travel, no Christ empty space, no enemy to face without Christ's grace. There is no joy to celebrate without Christ's grin. No sorrow to bear without Christ's Spirit within. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Thanks be to God. Amen. Paraphrase 48, hymn 425, hymn 425. The Saviour died, but rose again triumphant from the grave.
Thank you. Let us pray and let us thank God. Gracious God, we thank you that whatever path we choose to travel this life, you are with us. Although we may not know it, your companionship comes in friend and stranger, within and outside our families, perhaps in the places where we work or where we socialize. Open our eyes, therefore, to recognize the great truth that we are never forgotten or abandoned. Your love and care for us are expressed in the words and actions of others. So open our eyes, O God, to see that when we are companions to others, you may be using us to show your love and care. May we be prepared to be enriched and to enrich the lives of others through the risen Christ. We ask it in his name. Hear us, O God, as we bring to you our prayers for others. Let us pray for peace. Hear our cries, O God, and the cries of those who suffer conflict. The images of war distress us. The innocent are the victims, while often the world appears indifferent to their pain. O God, raise up leaders among the nations to pursue peace and reconciliation, forgiveness and justice. Raise them up now, we pray. The dictators and autocrats of this world alarm us. So bring peace, which is the desire of us all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for our young people. Hear us, O God, as we can commend to you our young people who have embarked or will soon embark upon their exams. Whether in school, college, or university, we remember this important stage in their lives and how significant it will be for their future. Help them to be prepared for the challenges that lie ahead of them, and be with those who have and will guide and instruct them. And when this period in their lives has passed, may our young people appreciate what they have achieved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for the parish grouping here in Stirling to which we belong. Lord God, we are mindful of the ministers and their Kirk sessions within this grouping who will meet together this week to consider the nature of our grouping. Guide them, we pray, in all their discussions. May they be open to different opinions and new ideas. Help them not to be afraid or anxious about the future. Rather, may they have a vision for what the church can be and can become using each of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us pray for those who find this stage of their lives difficult and challenging. The unemployed seeking employment, the troubled looking for peace, the sick with their desire to get better, be cured, the dying who reach out for reassurance, the mourning who wait for light to banish the darkness. Use us, we pray, O God, to be companions to those whose needs are great. And in our response, may we reveal your love and hope for us all through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for the saints of the Church, the men, women, and children who have already shared their life's journey with us. We cannot truly measure what they have given to us, but this we know: we are indebted to them for their love and faithfulness. May we express what they have given to us until the day when our earthly journey is no more and we are reunited with them in your presence. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is one with you, O God, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing hymn 421, Our Lord Christ Hath Risen. Now the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.